11.
Maida swamped? Gone forever? Little Maddie? With the grave eyes and merry giggle? Thorby felt a burst of sorrow and realized to his surprise that it mattered.
I don't believe it.
Don't be a fool.
When? Where has she gone? Why didn't you tell me?
To El Nido, obviously. It's the only ship of the people in port, about an hour ago. I didn't tell you because I had no idea it was coming. Until I was summoned to Grandmother's cabin to say goodbye. Jerry frowned. It had to come someday, but I thought Grandmother would let her stay as long as she kept her skill as a tracker.
Then why, Jerry? Why?
Jerry stood up, said woodenly, Foster, Ortho, Uncle, I have said enough. Thorby pushed him back into his chair.
You can't get away with that, Jerry. I'm your uncle only because they said I was. But I'm still the ex-fracky you taught to use a tracker, and we both know it. Now talk man to man. Spill it.
You won't like it.
I don't like it now. Maddie gone? Look, Jerry, there is nobody here but us. Whatever it is, tell me. I promise you, on Sisu's steel, that I won't make an uncle and nephew matter of it. Whatever you say, the family will never know.
Grandmother might be listening.
If she is, I've ordered you to talk, and it's my responsibility. But she won't be. It's time for her nap, so talk.
Okay. Jerry looked at him sourly. You asked for it. You mean to say you haven't the dimmest idea why Grandmother hustled my sis out of the ship?
Huh? None. Or I wouldn't ask.
Jerry made an impatient noise. Ugh, Thorby, I knew you were thick-witted. I didn't know you were deaf, dumb, and blind.
Never mind the compliments. Tell me the score.
You're the reason Maida got swapped. You. Jerry looked at Thorby with disgust. Me?
Who else? Who pairs off at Spatball? Who sits together at story films? What new relative is always seen with a girl from his own moiety? I'll give you a hint. The name starts with T.
Thorby turned white.
Jerry, I never had the slightest idea. You're the only one in the ship who didn't.
Jerry shrugged.
I'm not blaming you. It was her fault. She was chasing you, you stupid clown. What I can't figure out is why you didn't know. I tried to give you hints.
Thorby was as innocent of such things as a bird is of ballistics.
I don't believe it.
It doesn't matter whether you do or don't.
Everybody else saw it. But you both could have gotten away with it as long as you kept it open and harmless,
and I was watching too closely for anything else, if Sis hadn't lost her head.
Huh? How? Sis did something that made Grandmother willing to part with a crack fire controlman. She went to Grandmother and asked to be adopted across moiety line. In her simple, addle-pated way, she figured that since you were adopted in the first place, it didn't really matter that she was your niece. Just shift things around and she could marry you.
Jerry grunted. If you had been adopted on the other side, she could have wangled it. But she must have been clean off her head to think that Grandmother, would agree to anything so scandalous.
But, well, I'm not actually any relation to her. Not that I had any idea of marrying her.
Oh, beat it. You make me tired.
Thorby moped around, unwilling to go back and face Jerry. He felt lost and alone and confused. The family seemed strange, their ways as difficult to understand as the Losians. He missed Maida. He had never missed her before. She had been something pleasant but routine, like 3 meals a day and the other comforts he had learned to expect in Sisu. Now he missed her. Well, if that was what she wanted, why hadn't they let her? Not that he had thought about it, but as long as you had to get married someday, Maida would be as tolerable as any. He liked her. Finally, he remembered that there was one person with whom he could talk. He took his troubles to Dr. Matter. He scratched at her door, received a hurried, "Come in." He found her down on her knees, surrounded by possessions. She had a smudge on her nose, and her neat hair was mussed.
"Oh, Thorby, I'm glad you showed up. They tell me you were dirt-side, and I was afraid I would miss you."
She spoke in system English.
He answered in it.
"You wanted to see me?"
"But to say goodbye. I'm going home."
"Oh,
Phoebe felt again the sick twinge he had felt when Jerry had told about Maida. Suddenly he was wrenched with sorrow that Pop was gone. He pulled himself together and said,
"I'm sorry. I'll miss you."
"I'll miss you, Phoebe. You're the only one on this big ship that I felt at home with, which is odd as your background and mind are about as far apart as possible. I'll miss our talks."
"So will I," Phoebe agreed, miserably. "When are you leaving?"
"El Nido jumps tomorrow, but I should transfer tonight. I don't dare miss jump, or I might not get home for years."
"El Nido is going to your planet?"
A fantastic scheme began to shape in his mind.
"Oh, no.
She's going to Thaff Beta 6, but a hegemonic mail ship calls there and I can get home. It is too wonderful a chance to miss."
The scheme died in Thorby's brain.
It was preposterous, anyhow. He might be willing to chance a strange planet, but Maida was no fracky.
Dr. Matter went on. "The chief officer arranged it."
She smiled wryly.
"She's glad to get rid of me. I hadn't had any hope that she could put it over, in view of the difficulty in getting me aboard Sisu. I think your grandmother must have some bargaining point that she did not mention. In any case, I'm to go, with the understanding that I remain in strict purdo. I shan't mind. I'll use the time on my data."
Mention of purdo reminded Thorby that Margaret would see Maida. He started with stumbling embarrassment to explain what he had come to talk about. Dr. Matter listened gravely, her fingers busy with packing.
"I know, Phoebe. I probably heard the sad details sooner than you did."
"Margaret, did you ever hear of anything so silly?"
She hesitated. "Many things. Much sillier."
"But there wasn't anything to it. And if that was what Maida wanted, why didn't Grandmother let her, instead of shepping her out among strangers? I wouldn't have minded, after I got used to it."
The fracky woman smiled. "That's the oddest, gallant speech I ever heard, Phoebe."
Phoebe said, "Could you get a message to her for me?"
"Phoebe, if you want to send her your undying love or something, then don't."
"Your grandmother did the best thing for her great-granddaughter. Did it quickly, with kindness and wisdom. Did it in Maida's interests against the immediate interests of Sisu, since Maida was a valuable fighting man. But your grandmother measured up to the high standards expected of a chief officer. She considered the long-range interests of everyone and found them weightier than the loss of one fire controlman. I admire her at last. Between ourselves, I've always detested the old girl."
She smiled suddenly. "And 50 years from now, Maida will make the same sort of wise decisions. The Sept of Sisu is sound."
"I'll be flogged if I understand it."
"Because you are almost as much fracky as I am, and haven't had my training.
Phoebe, most things are right or wrong only in their backgrounds. Few things are good or evil in themselves. But things that are right or wrong according to their culture really are so. This exogamy rule the people live by, you probably think it's just a way to outsmart mutations. In fact, that's the way it is taught in the ship's school."
"Of course. That's why I can't see—"
"Just a second.
So you can't see why your grandmother should object. But it's essential that the people marry back and forth among ships, not just because of genes, that's a side issue, but because a ship is too small to be a stable culture. Ideas and attitudes have to be cross-germinated, too, or Sisu and the whole culture will die. So the custom is protected by strongest possible taboo. A minor break in this taboo is like a minor break in the ship, disastrous unless drastic steps are taken. Now, do you understand that?"
"Well, no, I don't think so."
"I doubt if your grandmother understands it. She just knows what's right for her family and acts with forthrightness and courage. Do you still want to send a message?"
Well, could you tell Maida that I'm sorry I didn't get to say goodbye?"
Yes. I may wait a while."
"All right.
Feeling better yourself?"
I guess so. Since you say it's best for Maida."
Phoebe suddenly burst out,
"But Margaret, I don't know what is the matter with me. I thought I was getting the hang of things. Now it's all gone to pieces. I feel like a fracky, and I doubt if I'll ever learn to be a traitor." Her face was suddenly sad. You were free once. It's a hard habit to get over.
Huh?
You've had violent dislocations, Thorby. Your foster father, your first one, Baslin the Wise, bought you as a slave and made you his son, as free as he was. Now your second foster father, with the best of intentions, adopted you as his son, and thereby made you a slave.
Why, Margaret, Thorby protested, how can you say such a thing?
If you aren't a slave, what are you?
Why, I'm a free trader. At least that's what Father intended. If I can ever get over my fracky habits, but I'm not a slave. The people are free, all of us.
All of you, but not each of you.
What do you mean?
The people are free. It's their proudest boast. Any of them can tell you that freedom is what makes them people and not fracky. The people are free to roam the stars, never rooted to any soul. So free that each ship is a sovereign state, asking nothing of anyone, going anywhere, fighting against any odds, asking no quarter, not even cooperating except as it suits them. Oh, the people are free. This old galaxy has never seen such freedom.
A culture of less than 100,000 people, spread through 250,000,000 cubic light years and utterly free to move anywhere at any time.
There has never been a culture like it, and there may never be again.
Free as the sky, more free than the stars, for the stars go where they must.
Oh, yes, the people are free. She paused. But at what price was this freedom purchased?
Thorby blinked.
I'll tell you. Not with poverty. The people enjoy the highest average wealth in history. The profits of your trading are fantastic. Nor has it been with cost to health or sanity. I've never seen a community with less illness. Nor have you paid in happiness or self-respect. You're a smugly happy lot, and your pride is something sinful. Of course, you do have a lot to be proud of. But what you have paid for your unparalleled freedom is freedom itself. No, I'm not talking riddles. The people are free, at the cost of loss of individual freedom for each of you. And I don't accept the chief officer or captain. They are the least free of any.
Her words sounded outrageous.
How can we be both free and not free? He protested.
Asked Maida.
Thorby, you live in a steel prison. You are allowed out perhaps a few hours every few months. You live by rules more stringent than any prison. That those rules are intended to make you all happy and do is beside the point.
They are orders you have to obey. You sleep where you are told, you eat when you are told, and what you are offered.
It's unimportant that it is lavish and tasty. The point is, you have no choice. You are told what to do 90% of the time. You are so bound by rules that much of what you say is not free speech, but required ritual. You could go through a day and not utter a phrase not found in the laws of Sisu, right?
Yes,
with no buts. Thorby, what sort of people have so little freedom? Slaves? Can you think of a better word?
But we can't be sold!
Slavery has often existed where slaves were never bought and sold, but simply inherited. As in Sisu. Thorby, being a slave means having someone as your master with no hope of changing it. You slaves who call yourselves the people can't even hope for manumission. Thorby scowled.
You figure that's what's wrong with me?
I think your slave's collar is chafing you, in a fashion that does not trouble your shipmates, because they were born with theirs, and you were once free. She looked at her belongings. I've got to get this stuff into El Nido. Will you help me?
I'd be glad to.
Don't expect to see Maida.
I wasn't,
Thorby fibbed.
I want to help you. I hate to see you leave.
Truthfully, I don't hate to leave, but I hate to say goodbye to you. She hesitated. I want to help you, too. Thorby, an anthropologist should never interfere, but
I'm leaving, and you aren't really part of the culture I was studying. Could you use a hint from an old woman?
Why, you aren't old.
That's two gallant speeches. I'm a grandmother, though the chief officer might be startled to hear me claim that status. Thorby, I thought you would become adjusted to this jail. Now I'm not sure. Freedom is a hard habit to break. Dear, if you decide that you can't stand it, wait until the ship calls at a planet that is democratic and free and human, then hit dirt and run. But Thorby, do this before Grandmother decides to marry you to someone, because if you wait that long, you're lost.